Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, March 21st. I guess yesterday was the first day of spring.
It was. I saw that.
Yes. Welcome to the spring. Like, we haven't had one here, right?
I know.
For the past 2 years straight.
Yeah. It's pretty perpetual over here in LA. We don't mean to brag, but you know.
Yeah. Except it's been foggy the past few days in the morning, and then it just gets beautiful.
Yeah. It's kind of bizarre. I'm not used to it.
Did you get a chance to go to the beach or anything over the weekend?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I was actually working a lot this
weekend. Oh, you were working?
Yeah.
Duh. I mean, what else is new, right?
I know. I had, you know, lots of auditions, and I hosted an event for Cointreau. So,
Cointreau is what? I saw the picture. Is that like a drink or something?
It is. Okay. It's like an orange liqueur.
Oh, is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Did you get to drink a little?
After,
right? They don't want you drunk.
I know.
During your commercial.
I know, right?
It's right.
Like, here, everybody, have a whole bottle. Yeah, no, I can't drink during work, but some people do.
But that was fun, huh? How long does it take to do something like that, to shoot a commercial like that?
Well, this actually wasn't a commercial. It was like a tasting.
Oh, okay. So you were there like the host?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Oh,
yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And so it was an event.
It was like an event.
I thought
you
said commercial. Yeah. I don't know. Where's my mind?
And I don't know. I like doing those kind of things every now and then because, you know, you get to meet people and it's just
fun. Of course.
Fun.
Sounds good. Okay. So, well, I didn't go to the beach either. I'd planned to go, but it never materialized. So, I worked actually too most of the time.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. I got my 3D printer to finally print the head of Donald Trump.
Oh, my
God. The thing is that this printer has been giving me the worst time. And I got it like a few days ago, and it just doesn't print. I mean, the stuff it's like the stuff sticks to it, and it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So for a few days, I'm like struggling with this, and Ronan here has been struggling with this. We're trying to get it to work, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't work. Finally, I got it somehow to work, and it printed like a perfect head of Donald Trump. Why did I get Donald Trump? It was the first object I found online that I was going to print, so I did. But it's funny, you know. So now maybe I'll paint it and just hang it on the wall or something.
Yeah.
That's
good
funny, yeah.
You know, I'm sure like the...
Maybe make like bobbleheads of Donald Trump, right?
Oh my God. That would be hilarious. Hey, if all else fails, you can always sell them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my
God. Oh, wow. So, well, good. So, it was a relaxing weekend and stuff. You know, I didn't do much. I wanted to go to the movies, but never materialized.
Mm-hmm.
But get this. It's like I'm starting to really worry about my mom. My dad calls me yesterday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's like, "Aren't you coming?" I said, "No." I said, "We didn't plan on me." We didn't finalize anything. I just told mom, I said, maybe I'll call if I can come, and that's it.
Yeah.
He's like, "We're sitting here waiting for you." And I'm going, oh, my God, you know.
Oh.
They thought they were going to lunch, and my mom totally made it up. It was totally made up. So dementia, I don't know. I don't even want to mention it, but I'm afraid something's going there.
Yeah.
Something is not okay, you know?
Yeah.
So it really, but I felt so bad for them. I mean, I'm picturing them sitting in the living room, all dressed up and ready to go, and I'm here working.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So we'll see how we deal with this, you know, because maybe we'll have to start writing things down or whatever for her, you know? It's terrible.
Terrible. It's a bad disease.
So my dad's got Parkinson's where his body is disintegrating and then she's got this and her mind is going, and it's hard when you have aging parents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Aging sucks, period. Guys, I don't care what anybody says, you know? There's all these like memes on Facebook about, no, aging is a good thing, blah, blah, blah. You know what? It's not. It's not. I don't see people that are really happy aging. But maybe, I don't know. At any rate, we were supposed to have a studio guest here today, and for some reason she didn't show up. So we actually went outside on the street and pulled a couple of strangers. And we'll bring him in just a second. They seem to be fascinating people. And you never know who you might meet on the street, you know?
I know.
Yeah, so there you go. One thing I wanted to bring up, which is interesting. I guess Apple is expected to announce a smaller iPhone and a smaller iPad.
Oh.
So people are moving all bigger and Apple's going smaller. You see, that's how you become innovative.
Right.
You do what the opposite of what everybody else is doing.
So true.
Right? And you'll see, they'll succeed.
I've never really understood the purpose of an iPad, though, when you have an iPhone.
Right. But I'll tell you, it's different because it's bigger. You can do more things with it. You can, like, read a book.
Okay.
On the iPhone, you can't really read a book, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of apps... it's just the iPhone is so small, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can do these things, but it's not fun.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. So that's a scoop there. And otherwise, you know, a lot of stuff in the news, but it's still all the same stuff, you know. I'm just, now Hillary is taking on Trump on the issue of Israel and everything. So I don't know that she's in a position to. She hasn't exactly been very nice. So, I don't know. Anyway, we're going to bring in our guest right now, and we're going to meet them right along with the listeners, because we haven't even had a chance to meet them except to say hello and introduce ourselves. We have Matt Polacek in the studio, right? And Joel Jacobson. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's okay to talk. You're on a talk show.
Okay,
so
great.
Don't be ashamed.
We're happy to be here.
Yeah, get a little closer to the mic, though, so we can hear you very well. There you go. So you guys are scheduled to be on the next show, which is Answers for the Family, and they will be here. But we figured they were sitting in the lobby, and we wanted to save them for an hour.
Yes.
So we invited them on the show, and they were gracious enough to join us. So we're going to find out a little bit what it is that you do and all that stuff. Are you guys up to it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And maybe if we run out of things to talk about you, we can talk about anything.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure you have a lot to tell us. So you guys both gave us cards. One is Betty Ford Center and one is Hazelden Betty Ford. Matt, let's start with you. Betty Ford Center, I think most of us have heard of it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we're a national provider for families and individuals with substance abuse problems,
okay,
and other mental health issues. And we've opened, about a year ago, we opened a outpatient center here in West Los Angeles.
Whoa.
So most people know us for our flagship in Rancho Mirage, you know, Palm Springs area.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've brought treatment to the people of Los Angeles, and we've got a new program and a great program here in West LA.
Wow, very cool. Congratulations on that. The Betty Ford Center has existed for a long time, right? I mean, at least since Betty Ford or Gerald Ford was president, right, Joelle?
Yes, absolutely. She really changed the course of the treatment world when she pioneered the Betty Ford Center.
How did she revolutionize it? In what way?
She made the disease of addiction just that, bringing it to the forefront that it is a brain disease and nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, okay. Really? So she's the one that really took the stigma out of it.
Yes.
And made people realize these people need treatment, not condemnation.
Right, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I think there was this kind of disillusionment that it was a willpower thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this choice, you know, and where people would go to treatment and then they'd come home and they'd somehow just not be mentally strong enough to stay sober. And what Betty Ford, you know, kind of revolutionized is that it truly is a chronic disease, just as diabetes or any other long-term chronic disease. And so, like Joelle was saying, it really destigmatized addiction.
Right. My question to you is, I know many times, not all the time, but many of the times people get involved in this because they've been through it themselves. Have you guys been through addiction? No? Yes? Can you like not talk about it? I mean,
no. So our addiction actually affects about 30 to 40% of all families.
Really,
it's a yeah. Wow. The numbers are staggering.
Staggering,
and unfortunately, we're seeing huge increases in addiction, and especially in specific types of addiction.
Right.
For instance, we're currently in a pretty serious opiate epidemic.
Oh wow!
Really.
Okay.
What are opiates? Tell people who don't know what those are.
So when we're looking, okay.
So for example, morphine, which is the like heroin on the street, morphine would be what the doctors would give out.
Mm.
And
so doctors actually give that out to patients, morphine?
Well, it's a painkiller.
That could be for another
no,
show.
No, I know. No, I know. But yeah. I can't understand that because I know usually morphine is used in hospitals and stuff, right?
Yes. Wow. There are morphine patches. There are different derivatives of...
Wow.
Of
and people get addicted to those, obviously.
Yes, because what happens is they'll go to the doctor, if we're going to stay on that topic, and say that they are experiencing chronic pain and nothing's helping, and they will get a prescription for an opiate. And there really isn't a way to tell if the person really is in chronic pain or right. med-seeking.
Yeah.
And so, but eventually, hopefully the doctor will see that this person is med-seeking and will detox them off of the meds, will refer them to a detox. But
then you just switch really doctors.
But then you switch doctors, which is called doctor shopping. yes, which is unfortunately a big, big issue. And then when you are not able to get to a doctor or the doctors have called all the pharmacies that you know you're getting your meds filled by and, you know, letting them know that you are med-seeking, then that's what ends up happening is people will end up going to heroin. And this isn't, you know, the teenage, you know, not just the adolescent population, but you'll see moms going, you know, to get heroin, you know, with their children
wow.
in tow.
Wow.
Because they're not able to get the meds or pay for the meds anymore.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's very interesting because yesterday I was talking to a new host who's got a show called, by the way, let's give him a plug, Life Repair Recovery. And he's been sober for 25 years
oh,
or
wow.
something. But we were talking yesterday about addiction and he was telling me, he says, doctors, lawyers, anybody sticking needles in. And I'm going, my God, this does not discriminate.
No, it doesn't.
Right?
I've known so many people that you wouldn't think.
Yeah. Wow. And I guess nobody set out to, nobody ever says, I'm going to take up an addiction or something, you know, like for, with painkillers, right? Because it's like, you know, let's say marijuana or cocaine or something. You're consciously picking up something that you know could get you addicted, right? But with pain medication, you start it innocently enough.
Right.
Alan just walked by and he's like, what the
face,
hell's going
that was
on?
Hilarious.
This is the next host, folks, and we stole his guests. And now he's walking by and he doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Like, that was really funny.
That's how the station works. I wish we had another microphone. We'd ask him to come in too. But maybe towards the end of the show, we'll have Alan. That's Alan Cardoza, Answers for the Family, coming up right after this show at 11. Don't miss it. Always a great show. So going back to this, tell us a little bit. So your positions there, Joelle, you work for Hazelden Betty Ford. How's that different from the Betty Ford Center?
So Hazelden merged with the Betty Ford a couple of years ago.
Oh.
And so I just have a different card than Dr. Polachek.
Okay.
But
you guys work
company.
at the same place.
Yes. So there's
okay.
16 sites within the Hazelden Betty Ford system.
So,
and we're in network with all major insurance carriers, which is something new for Betty Ford.
That's great.
So we can help.
Yeah, a lot of other people that maybe don't have the means.
Exactly.
Right, right. And so, Matthew, you're the director of outpatient services. So that's exactly what you were just describing to us, the new one in West LA that's going on. How long have you been with the organization now?
So I've been with them for about 7 months. Prior to them, I was the director of mental health for a company called Center for Discovery. And actually, Joelle was the one who recruited me over to his.
Really? She's like, don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anyone, but everyone listening to this, yeah, right, to this show.
That's okay. Nobody, yes, expected you to be on this
so,
one.
Right. So we both worked at Center for Discovery.
Mm.
And now we work at Betty Ford.
Yeah, well.
Betty Ford.
Yeah, yes, good. Yes. So that's great. Now do you... You work in the same office, right? Pretty much. I mean, you work in the same part in the outpatient services, right? Now, so is this drastically more affordable than the main Betty Ford Center?
Well, luckily, being in network, you know, most and taking most insurance providers, it really depends on what level of care people need.
Okay.
You know, we've got a lot of professionals who can't take the time, unfortunately, to leave for, you know, 20, 30, 40 days to receive treatment.
Right.
And so being able to come, you know, down the street to an outpatient program from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at night, it really works with a lot of people's schedules.
Nice.
However, some people, you know, do need a higher level of care.
Right.
And when we're talking about some of these people with, you know, painkiller addiction, and they're at the point where they, you know, they can't stop and it's interfering in their day-to-day activity to where, you know, they can't function, then they're going to need a higher level of care. And
right.
Luckily, you know, being in network, we can really provide treatment for anyone.
Right.
So what do you guys specialize in? You're doctors. So what is your specialty?
So my background actually is I'm a licensed psychologist.
Oh, okay.
And so I spent about 15, 20 years working with adolescents.
Wow, that must have been a trip, right?
to
say
yeah,
the least.
Keep you on your feet.
Adolescents, my God, man. So, I mean, that's like a lot of energy, right, on your part?
Yeah.
Right, to
yeah,
deal with
they,
that.
They keep you going.
Wow. Yeah. So, and you, Joelle?
I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and a school counselor. And so my bulk of experience in the past 15 years has also been with adolescents and families and young adults. And so lucky for them, we both have a lot of energy.
Okay, good.
And we're up for the task.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, both of us working with adolescents, we have a lot of experience working with addiction.
My mom is a retired school counselor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
From Texas, yeah.
Wow,
oh,
wow.
She loved
it. So there's a big problem with teenagers, would you say, with adolescents in this country?
Yes.
Yeah, it's, there's
pretty
a lot
serious
of stimulus.
Really?
Well, and
what do you mean a lot of stimulus?
I mean, you know, things have sped up, you know, and our access to any type of technology or access to people, places, things, drugs, et cetera, is so enhanced. I remember, you know, I was just talking to Joelle on our way over here, and I was thinking back to when, you know, I was in college. I had to go down 10 flights of stairs and wait in a line with my quarters to make a phone call.
Right.
Whereas here, you know, with today's technology and access to things, you know, it can be utilized in a good way. But the teenagers, unfortunately, are really open to a lot of negative, you know, opportunities out there.
Yeah. Now, Joelle, so when you started, did you, like in your education and stuff, did you consciously decide I'm going to go for the addiction part of this? Or was it after you started practicing you realized maybe this is a specialty I want to do?
It was actually after I started practicing.
Okay.
I knew I was always interested in working with adolescents. I had a very positive experience as an adolescent. And so, but in working with adolescents, that came hand in hand, the addiction and not only with the adolescents, but with the families and how their use affects them in their home. And then as far as the transgenerational process and helping them not continue that cycle. So,
right. Because I can imagine a serious addiction like this would affect the whole family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's absolutely a family disease. That's why at Hazelden Betty Ford, we have many family programs at our different sites. And we also have a children's program at the Betty Ford Center in Rancho Mirage, which is an education and prevention program for children ages 7 to 12 years old. Mm. And a sober caregiver will bring them to the program. It's a 4-day program. And then the continuing care groups are in Rancho Mirage, but also at our West LA location.
Wow.
So,
yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting stuff. Now, I'm not going to ask you too much more because I just want to tease everybody to listen to the actual show you were invited on. So we're also not going to keep you here the whole show because otherwise Alan's going to kill me because he probably wants to prepare with you guys a little bit. But just a little bit of background. Joelle, are you originally from L.A.?
I'm originally from New York.
Oh, really? Yes. And when did you move here?
Yeah. Oh, when I was young.
Oh, okay. So you're
a California girl.
Yeah, you're an Angelino yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
And you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm a Long Beach born and raised here in California.
Really?
Yep.
He looks like a California boy, right?
Yeah.
Like carefree, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll do whatever, you know. Surfer, right? Were you a surfer?
A poor one.
Really?
You can get me on a longboard, but I struggle on a short one.
Awesome. And how about personally, do you have any kids? Are you married?
I'm luckily, I've got a wonderful wife and a beautiful 5-year-old daughter named Eden.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a very, very lucky and happy man.
Indeed, you are very blessed. And Joelle, you?
Yes, I am married with 2 children
uh-huh.
and 3 dogs.
Wow. Big family.
It is a big family.
Big family. Yeah. You see, Matt, you get your work cut out for you. You think one kid's going to be enough? I don't think so. Anyway, kids are amazing. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And tell people how they can find out more. Go ahead.
Well, they can go to www.hazeldenbettyford.org.
Okay.
And they can find more about the program. They can also contact us at the...
Yeah, we need to look at the card. There's your card.
Our phone number is 310-307-7055. Okay. And our other number, our toll-free number, 877-872-7538.
Awesome.
Thank
awesome.
You so much for having us.
Thank
of
you.
Course. Thank you so it's much for joining us. I mean, you guys are fascinating. I can't wait to hear to the rest, listen to the rest of the story. So, guys, please stay tuned after this show. 10 minutes after we end this show, these great guests are going to be on Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Don't miss it. Guys, thanks again.
Thank you. We'll be
listening later. Thank you for joining
us. Have a great
day. Yeah, you
okay,
too.
Awesome. So, you know, the subject of addiction, I think, is so so relevant, you know. So, like, it's just all around you, you know. And
it is.
And it is a family thing. And, I think it's amazing that they're making it, like, available to more people now.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, me too.
And stuff, because I'm sure everybody wants to go, if they're addicted, let me go to the best, you know? So, Betty Ford Center. Anyway, so you guys can find them online. And if you have somebody that is in trouble in your family, please seek out help because it only gets worse. I can't see how it ever gets better unless there's intervention.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah. So let's move on to other things. Let's see. What can I tell you of my latest romantic escapades? I'm still pursuing this beautiful, wonderful young woman. And so not much to report yet, folks.
But you got her number.
Yeah. We're making progress, but... Nothing great yet. I'm sure also, in case she listens, I want her to know that I'm not going to reveal anything that she doesn't want people to know about how things develop or what we do or anything.
Right.
You know?
It's like disclaimer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, don't hesitate to date me just because you think I'm going to reveal everything on the radio. It doesn't happen that way.
No.
But I will give you general things just so you know. What we'll do is we'll do like a happy meter for me. And we'll measure it every day. You know, where are you on the meter from 0 to 10?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you guys know, you will know if I got laid or something.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Do you sometimes like imagine what people look like when they're having sex, like people that you know.
Oh my God, or no. That
you
meet.
You I see mean, guys do that all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, not as a turn-on thing, but it's just like you see a couple, a married couple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you imagine them, you know, like in bed together.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I mean, I think I find it entertaining to think about that, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's not the prettiest thought.
Yeah. But no, it's not. But think of like the... think of the awesomeness when you see somebody who is a very ordinary person. They're not very sexual looking or not sexy, let's say. And then you imagine them having sex and you go, oh my God. You know, but I mean, look, everybody deserves to get laid, man.
That's
There's
true.
Nothing better than that. My God. And it's free. God gave it to us for free. The best pleasure in the world.
Yeah.
So take advantage of it, folks. But you know what? The thing is, a lot of people go a long time without sex, you know? Like me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people are single.
Yeah.
And you better believe that more married people have sex than single people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or married people have more frequent sex than single people because...
Sure.
It's always there, you know?
Right, right,
it's always there, and they do it for different reasons, too, you know? It's mm-hmm. not just raw sex. Sometimes it is love and connection and an erotic thing. So, yeah, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of different things, but I think, in general, people should take advantage of what we have, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and find someone who's suitable to you, you know? Don't go out of your league, you know? I mean... Yeah, you know, I'm telling that to myself too, but no, I mean, you got to be realistic about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that I was reading something somewhere recently about dating out of your league and what it takes.
And, oh my gosh!
Yeah, you need a lot of money.
No,
that's the bottom line.
You're kidding.
If you're a guy, you need money.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, what else? Mm. What else can it be?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So, but at any rate, because, I mean, look, sometimes don't you see, like, beautiful women with guys that are like, meh.
Yeah.
Right? All the time, right? All the time. All right. So that's all I'm saying. So guys, so it says two things. Guys can date out of their league, and women don't consider looks as the most important thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's some women, let's just say not in general, but no, I mean...
Personally, I'm very forgiving.
Really?
Yes. Not that I don't like a good-looking guy.
Uh-huh.
I do.
But and you look deeper.
Right. And yeah. I have to be attracted to the person I'm with.
To the person himself.
Right. But, you know, it's so funny because at the time, you know, like when you're dating someone or whatever, you think they're good-looking and you think that they're... After a while, you don't notice...
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like you get so used to them.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards you're like, oh my God, I was clearly drunk the entire
time. I love that one.
I know.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. My gosh, my cousin's like, were you high? And I'm like, maybe. Like, I should not be held accountable for my actions at that time in my life.
So don't ever commit to anything or anybody when you're drunk. That's what we have to say.
But, I mean, I'm joking, of course. But, yeah, so, I don't know. I look at other things. It's the whole package for me. It's the smell and the personality and the charisma. And it's just a bunch
Right,
of
the
things.
Whole package.
I
right.
can't even really explain it myself.
Right.
You know.
No, that's the thing. And that's what I say again. You can't meet anybody meaningful through dating sites and apps. It's got to be in person, you know, because only then can the other person see the whole of you, you know, the entire you.
So
you know,
true.
Because look, on paper, nothing looks good. Let's put it that way. You can't get what you put on paper.
Or sometimes it looks really good on paper.
Yeah, no, it does. No, and, but what I mean, it doesn't really translate itself into reality.
Oh, exactly. It's like, okay, you're cute, you're a doctor, you're this, you're that, and then you meet, and it's like, there's no spark, no chemistry, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I agree.
Exactly, yeah. But there's been too many love stories about people that don't care about money and don't care about income. But when you go to, like, matchmakers and stuff, they ask you, how much money are you making? You know, they really want to know. The women want to know.
You're if they're going to settle down,
I swear to you. Yeah, no, I mean, I contacted somebody, a matchmaker that was here on the show.
Yeah.
And she's, so part of the questionnaire was, what is your income? And I'm like, look, at this point, I'm not comfortable giving it to you, you know?
Right.
And they said, well, I said, why would, you know, if I'm going to a matchmaker and I want to meet someone cool, why would I want someone who cares so much about how much I'm making that she won't even meet me before I qualify financially for her?
Right. Well, okay. So I completely agree with you. But I bet that they do it in an adverse kind of way. So, like, yeah, they'll ask you, like, what do you make, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, probably some of her questions are, like, what do you like to do for fun?
Yeah.
Where would you like to go to eat?
Right. And then match it to see if you can afford it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, if she has, like, expensive taste, so right, to speak.
That's true.
It may not work out with somebody who's making $30,000
yeah,
a year.
That's
you
true,
know?
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
So, I think, but I have used matchmaking services before myself.
Yeah.
And they don't come out and say, like, this guy makes this much. No, no, no.
No, it's not like
oh,
that.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay.
No.
So they have a subtle way of doing that.
Right.
And oh, okay.
It's like part of their whole, like, compatibility meter.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But, I mean, you know, like, if you think about it, you're kind of guilty. It just even the places that you go.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I say I don't care about money. I mean, I make my own money.
Right.
I really don't need anybody else's money.
Right. But you don't want someone to rely on you or suck all your money
right,
away.
And, you know, I like to hang out in Beverly Hills. I
right,
do. It's not because, like, I'm pretentious or anything. It's because it's nicer.
Yeah.
And I like it.
And you can, right?
Yeah. And I like the food. And I like the ambiance. And
right,
not to say that I don't go, like, Koreatown or downtown or wherever else, I go to those places too. But if I had a choice,
you like fine dining and
I
things
do,
like that. Yeah,
you know,
so you need someone who's got a little bit of cash, you know, so or credit or whatever.
So, you know,
yeah,
and it's like I met my boyfriend in Beverly Hills, you know,
yeah,
so it's like there was no pre-qualification, like, oh, he must have this much money or that much money or whatever. No,
right,
but it just so happened,
yeah, that you met there and you like it there,
right?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, very interesting. You know, I mean, you guys have to understand. And I think that's one thing people don't discuss a lot is, like, you know, who do you date? I mean, what is your league? What is outside of your league? What does it take to date outside your league? You know, because otherwise, I mean, look, if you're an ordinary looking guy and you approach the hottest woman in the club or something, she's probably not going to go for you. And you're probably setting yourself up for failure. So what should you do in that case? I don't know. Maybe not reach that high. You know, maybe tell yourself, look, realistically, I'm not going to get that woman. So maybe I should look for someone who's not the hottest woman in the club. And, you know, and that's how people meet. And you know what? The amazing thing is sometimes, look, this is kind of mean to say, but sometimes ugly people, you see them with kids and stuff and you go, you know, who would want to fuck
that? Oh my God.
Because you think they probably would never have sex, you know? You know what? I don't mean ugly. I mean, like, ordinary people, like I meant before, like people that you never look at as having sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, you know what? Everybody has sex.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing. So.
Well, gotta tell you, I've never met a picky man.
Yeah, right?
That's why, like, this is kind of foreign to me, this whole, like...
Exactly.
Because it's easy for, you know...
Men will insert it everywhere and anywhere.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, they have fucking masturbators for men and dolls and shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, American Pie, you know? People talk about masturbating with watermelon and shit.
Ew!
I know. It's like, or what? The American Pie is not any better.
Oh, my God.
You remember?
But yeah, I mean, I remember in college, like, one of my girlfriends was like, yeah, I texted him that I was bored at like 3 o'clock in the morning and he had been working all day and he still came over and I'm like, duh. I mean, it's just like, you know, whereas the girl would be like, I'm tired. No, maybe tomorrow.
So yeah.
Like, you know, guys are different and it's just, you know, easier, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're so different. It's incredible. You know, I mean, yes, we're all human beings and everything, but we're totally different cultures, men and women. You know,
yeah.
People have to understand that, you know,
yeah.
And sort of like embrace it, I think, you know.
Yeah. But back to your whole like leagues conversation.
Yeah.
I just, maybe I'm, you know, idealistic or whatever, but in my experience and in a lot of my friends' experience, it's just more about connection than anything. I mean, ultimately.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So maybe I'm pretty cynical about it, but,
yeah.
But you see, you're giving me the feminine perspective of it, and
yeah.
I need that.
Yeah. So yeah. Like, you know, but, you know, ultimately you just have to get that person to go out with you, right? That's the first step. But for me, for example, I mean, there have been, I love my boyfriend. There have been people that are much more qualified in other ways than he is.
Mm.
Like,
that's true. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I tell him this even. Like, on paper,
yeah,
it doesn't look so
doesn't
good.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are even people.
But it's lasted.
Yeah.
It's lasted
and
a while.
And there are even people that, like, I was dating when we met or whatever that I, you know, that were better suited for me, quote unquote.
Mm.
But we just had such a connection. And the best way I know how to describe it is just like a friendship. Like we're like best friends, you know?
Wow, that's awesome.
And everything's just so easy.
Yeah.
Like it's never hard.
Good. Well, that's the way it should be. You don't have to work hard at it, right?
No, it's like, it's really, really effortless.
Yeah.
Like it just, I can't even believe it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's it honestly seems like it's been 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
you're very lucky.
Yeah. We're like so happy. Right?
Yeah. That's cool. Well, somebody was trying to call. I didn't want to interrupt you, but if people want to weigh in on this, that's fine. You know, I'm okay with taking a call sometimes. When we don't have a guest, I'm okay with taking calls, you know. It's just that when you have a guest and then you take a caller, it's like rude, you know. To me, it's rude.
Sure.
Because, well, I mean, you know, unless they want to ask the guest something, but.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not interested usually. So, no, but it's true, you know, I mean, and it's encouraging to hear that from you because men will realize that, look, you know, I mean, not everybody's the same, you know, not every hot chick is going to be like, you're out of my league and stuff. She's going to look for other things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you see, that's why communication is good between the sexes. You know, we need to understand each other and people don't. You know, people don't. They go out and, you know, the men are afraid. The women are like, you know, I don't know, trying to get away. And I don't know what's going on. Some, you know, sometimes I just don't understand. You have, you know, I mean, this woman over the Great Love Debate, she was complaining why she was being perceived as a, you know, resting bitch face or something, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's like, well, look at you, you know? And then we talked to her outside, my friend and I, and she turned out to be a bitch after all, so.
She should smile.
Yeah.
She wanna.
But it's not about the smiling, it's about the attitude, because.
Yeah, that too.
Because obviously that's what she was projecting, and people feel that.
Yeah.
People sense that.
Oh,
you know,
of course.
I just thought I'd start talking to her because if she claims that she's not a bitch, you know, and people just don't understand, maybe I'll walk up to her
and
see, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Won't turn out to be a bitch. so much for that, right?
Oh, my gosh.
But then there was another two cute women that we approached and at the bar. And after a nice conversation of about 5 minutes, I heard the word boyfriends, but I wasn't sure. So I asked my friend, I said, did I hear boyfriend?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Oh,
you
God.
Know, because that's the code. That's their code to get rid of the guys, you know. And I'm like, I'm not interested, you know, in these games. Because I could have sat there and told her, you don't have a boyfriend. If you had a boyfriend, you wouldn't be sitting here with your friend.
Maybe
right
she actually
now.
Did have a boyfriend, though.
Well, maybe, but, you know. But look, women, okay, well, I don't know. I don't go to bars that often. But, you know, to me, if two women sit at a bar alone, they're there to be or okay, they're not there to be picked up, but they have to expect that people will try to hit on them. And if I was the boyfriend, I would not be very happy about it. What do you think?
Well, I go to bars with my girlfriend sometimes.
That's true, right?
Yeah. And, you know.
Okay. And what do you, so do you, so you have conversations with guys and everything, right?
Yeah.
All the time.
I mean.
People hit on you. How can you not, right?
Yeah. It's mainly about just like having fun with my friends.
Right.
You know?
I know.
But like, sure, guys will, of course they try, you know? Right. Yeah. And like, we'll talk to them just because we're not going to be rude.
That's true, right.
But, yeah.
So not everybody's, you see, but that's the thing. It's like a, maybe they should have bars for like, women with boyfriends and women that are available. Because
I know, right?
Yeah, half the time you approach women, they mention a boyfriend. You don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah.
And even if it's not, who cares?
Well, you they know? Obviously it's aren't the interested if they
exactly,
say that.
Exactly. So,
oh my gosh.
Boyfriend. I mean, I don't think there's any worse thing that a girl can say than my boyfriend.
I know.
You know, I was thinking about that yesterday because I met somebody. No, listen, I met somebody, and I'm very attracted to her,
mm-hmm.
but she already put me in the friend zone.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, but which is fine. I mean, she's got somebody, right?
Right. What
okay.
do you do? Yeah.
So I'm not going to go and interfere with that. Some guys do, but I will not. So,
it never ends well.
But in the friend zone, it feels nice with her so far, you know?
Good.
It's pretty cool. So maybe that's where I'll stay, but... But the fact of the matter is that the moment I heard boyfriend, it's like my erection went down completely.
Yeah.
You don't know what it does to a man to hear that word, you know?
Oh.
Nobody wants to hear that, or husband, or, you know, of course.
Right.
But, hey, not everybody's available, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
But it is the ultimate buzzkill. Buzzkill.
Yeah. It's just that, you know what the problem I feel is with a monogamous relationship is when you find, when one day you meet somebody and they reawaken everything in you, let's say after a few years you've been with somebody, it's not, you know, I mean, it's never the same, you know, years later like it was during the honeymoon period. So, and then you meet, you just run into somebody, you meet someone through fate, whatever, and they are, they sweep you off your feet. What do you do? You're attached.
Yeah.
You know, one thing about being single is you're always available to somebody, you know?
Right.
So you're always, there's always the right time. The timing is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like that, then you never get into a relationship, then that's the flip side of this,
exactly,
you know, is if you want to stay single, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you want to find someone, then you'll always be in a position where you're attached and somebody, quote unquote, better might come along.
Yeah. But right. I think that's the problem, is that mindset of like always greener on the other side.
Right. Yeah.
And then you're like never satisfied. You
right.
know?
But you see, but that again, I think that's a male point of view, what I'm saying, because we need variety, you know. Again, I'm not generalizing about everything, but I'm saying things that I know about myself or friends or just things that I've read, you know. I mean, look, at this age, I know a lot of things, you know. And one of the things I know is that men need variety. Look, when we talk about primal, what nature wants, right, it's for women to multiply,
sure.
to reproduce, and males to protect and provide for them. That's
mm-hmm.
what the primitive thing is about. So men are expected to spread their seed as much as possible. Thus, they get attracted by everything.
Mm-hmm.
For crying out loud, you know, everything. God damn, every fucking hole is a potential... potential vagina. I mean, my God, you know, look where men put their penises, for crying
That's
out loud.
That's so true.
Somebody help us with that. I mean, why do people have to do these things? What's wrong with your hand, man? Relax.
I don't know.
These machines and... my God.
People are crazy.
It is, you know. But, you know, sometimes when you think, you know, it's like there's a whole industry for toys and stuff, right? Adult toys.
Yeah.
Now, people obviously store them at home. What happens when a person dies and the family goes through their stuff?
Well, surely they've thrown it out before. But not necessarily, yeah. Right? If they, like, die tragically
exactly.
or something.
That's what I mean. Not old age or naturally. But if something happens, you die, and all your secrets come out, you know?
I know. That's why you should appoint someone. Like your sister or
I guess
your brother or something, you know, yeah. Just in case. Like, hey, if anything happens to me,
yeah, dump the shit.
Get
right?
that before mom and dad see it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, but this industry, it's like so full of products and everything and amazing and just and now they're getting to virtual reality with porn and
oh
stuff
you're
like
kidding
that. No
oh my god
yeah I mean porn has always been the leading adopter of technology, you know. Hmm. When video came out, it was porn first. When the internet, CD-ROMs came out.
CD-ROMs,
I remember, yeah.
Oh,
remember CD-ROM?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, before the DVDs, yeah. But, yeah, who uses discs anymore, right? But, yeah. But, no, I mean, there was videotape. I mean, those tapes.
Right.
And today, you know, I mean, so it's changed so much. But it's always in like processing payment systems on the internet. Porn managed that first before anybody felt safe on the internet.
Right.
Porn was already leading.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I guess if you can't have the reality at the moment, then virtual reality is the next best thing.
There you go. You know, I mean, I don't believe this. There's apparently people that spend thousands of dollars on webcams with porn stars, you know, it's like I can't imagine.
I've heard of that, yeah.
And I mean, they have everything you might want, you know. I mean, I know so much about this industry because, like, in the radio industry in LA, you're surrounded by a lot of porn stars. A lot of them come in here, mm-hmm. So I meet a lot of them and I learn a lot about the industry. And one thing I've learned though is that all they ever talk about is porn.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, they don't talk about anything else. Seldom.
But then, like, our guest the other day, he was a former porn actress. She said, she's like, I don't like to talk about sex.
No, because she's a former. And that was some time ago, and she wants to leave that behind her.
Right.
Right.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, folks, we still have a lot to say, as you can tell, because we love talking. Early in the morning, right?
Yes.
Well, Kelsey, I must tell you that a lot of people are telling me your co-host is great.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Only compliments. And I'm like, wow, you know.
Good.
So they agree with me. I hit the jackpot.
Oh.
And we're happy to have you here,
yay,
Kelsey.
Likewise. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks to our guests who were Joelle and Matt from the Betty Ford Center.
Yeah.
And check out more. Listen to the show right after this in 10 minutes. Answers for the Family right here on Channel 1. And we will be back with you guys tomorrow.
Yes. Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.